This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Congressman Bill Cassidy, also a member of the House Education and Labor Committee, a committee that had some jurisdiction on health care legislation. We want to get his thoughts on some of the latest issues to arise as the Democrats tried to get this Senate bill through the House. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Greg, for allowing me to be here.
We have seen the president use several different arguments in his town hall style campaign rallies in Pennsylvania and now Missouri this week in trying to get those final several votes to pass the Senate bill in the House. One of the things he says, sir, is this legislation is necessary so that patients and doctors will have more control and insurance companies will have less. As a practicing physician, if this thing goes through, will you have more power or less?
Basically, one of their reforms is to expand Medicaid to 130 to 150% of federal poverty level. Ask any patient or any physician that either is on Medicaid or treats Medicaid patients whether or not they have more control or less. The fact is, the bigger the bureaucracy, the less the control. The post office does an admirable job, but on the other hand, most people feel like if they have a complaint, it's very difficult to take it up through the ranks. So what the president is saying is counterintuitive. And this, as others, we're going to create 110 new bureaucracies, but it's going to be more responsive. We're going to spend more, but we're going to save money. We're going to raise taxes, but we're going to increase jobs. It's just counterintuitive all the way around.
Talk about the 110 new bureaucracies. We don't hear a lot about that. What exactly would they do? Just how burdensome would it be?
Well, for example, there is in the Congressional Budget Office a financial report that just came out. There's a discussion, and obviously everybody's centered upon cost and upon patient-centered. In fact, it's clear the president has heard that from the American people because that's where his argument is migrating. So let's just discuss about the bureaucracies. According to the Congressional Budget Office report that just came out, there's going to be maybe up to $70 billion required just for the IRS and the Department of Health and Human Services to administer the program. Now, just taken as a correlation, the size of the bureaucracy and the amount of money going towards it, if you're putting $70 billion into more bureaucracies, that is not an agile, nimble, patient-centered approach. Just think of the last time someone got audited and had a good experience interfacing with the IRS. Well, now the IRS will be the interface between the mandate that says either you buy insurance or else you pay a tax. Wait a second, I lost my slip of paper, IRS agent. Please cut me slack. You know, it's just going to be a difficult set of situations. So I think both the cost of it, the administrative cost, as well as the bureaucracy it encumbers, gives us a sense of where the president's going with this.
Compare that with what Republicans are proposing on this front in terms of creating more patient control over the system.
So if it's intuitive that the more government you create, the less responsive it becomes to the patient, in a sense, the more control you give to the government, the less control the patient has. The flip is also true. The more control you give to the patient, the better for the patient. And so one thing that the Republicans have continued to emphasize are things such as health savings accounts, whereby the patient has a sum of money that she controls. And if she wants the test, she pays for it out of the sum of money. But if she saves the money, she keeps it for the next year. It makes her the final arbiter of whether something is indicated or not, not somebody in Washington, D.C. That's patient-centered, and it actually has a better potential to control cost and to improve health care.
Congressman, what are you hearing from your patients? I know you still do a little bit of work when you get a chance to go back home to your district. What are they saying about this?
You know, I have an uninsured patient, she is a patient. She's a friend. She's a patient. And she joined in a phone-a-thon we had in Baton Rouge to support Scott Brown's candidacy. Because even though she is uninsured, her concern is, I can eventually get insurance, but I won't get back the freedoms that I lose under this bill. I won't get back the America we had before this bill is passed, which will change America and our relationship with our government. So even though she's uninsured, she is an adamant opponent to this. Now, by the way, the fact she's uninsured shows that we do need health reform. We've got to meet the needs of the folks, but it's got to be in a patient-centered, not a government-centered way.
Congressman, as you've mentioned before, I think in this conversation, as well as in other times we've had this discussion, the issue of expanding coverage, a lot of that is going to be through the Medicaid program, which I know you're very concerned about, the price tag that's going to hit on the states. But in terms of where we stand with the Medicaid system right now and the number of people that doctors just won't see anymore because the reimbursement rate is so low, what will that mean if we greatly expand the number of people included in that program?
That's what people do not want to talk about who are promoting this bill. If you take a pediatrician and you pay her 60% of what it cost her to run her practice, she cannot afford to take Medicaid patients. So as it turns out, those on Medicaid do not have access to health care, as do others with private insurance. So the idea that we're going to expand Medicaid and do a favor to so many people, regardless of what it does to the state budgets that are being bankrupted, is just fallacious.
Congressman, I know that most of the arm-twisting, of course, is going on the Democratic side, but what are you hearing on momentum right now? Which way are the tea leaves showing?
All the public pronouncements are that, sure, it's a done deal. Then you talk to the members on the other side of the aisle, or you listen to them speak in the lunchroom, and they are concerned. One guy told me today, at best, they have 150 votes, that there's just cold feet all over the place because they've realized that this bill is not reform. The Senate bill is not reform. It's just more money piled upon a broken system, and they, just like we, want to go to a system that's true reform.
A reliable source told you they're more than 65 votes short right now?
That is what a member of the other side of the aisle told me this afternoon.
Amazing. That's certainly a lot different than what we're hearing about how basically the final touches are being put on this thing. The final issue, and this deals with the ongoing debate over abortion, Congressman, both sides, by both sides, I mean the moderate Democrats and the Democratic leadership, are confident a compromise can be reached on this. Do you see a way that can happen?
No, the reconciliation process will not allow an addressing of a social issue. And so the people who are pro-life, who imagine that they're going to vote for this bill and then have it fixed through the reconciliation process, it just won't happen. That is going to be ruled non-germane by the parliamentarian. And so that just seems to be a total stretch that could occur.
Fascinating. We'll keep watching and we'll keep checking in with you, sir. Thanks as always for your time.
Hey, thank you, Greg.
Louisiana Congressman Bill Cassidy represents his state's 6th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.